91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. Have any guess how much money is held by Florida's Bureau of Unclaimed Property? Well, the figure stands at over $1 billion. Good afternoon, it's Bonnie Berman with Joseph Cooper. It's a record-breaking threshold. There are unclaimed savings accounts, rebates of utility deposits, stock dividend payments, and other dormant accounts. You can check online to see if you're listed, and if so, fill out forms and prove your identity. And there's more loot under wraps. Abandoned safe deposit boxes may hold jewelry and other keepsakes. Some may be valuable, there may be gold. When unclaimed, they're periodically auctioned off to the public. Learn more shortly after NPR and regional news.
And it's our Tuesday edition, Topical Currents, Joseph Cooper, along with Bonnie Berman. 7 minutes past 1 o'clock. Well, this hour we visit with officials from the state of Florida's Department of Financial Services, Bureau of Unclaimed Property. There's around $1 billion of unclaimed funds in their coffers, Bonnie.
Yeah, I know, it's a lot. We'll learn more about the Bureau, but more important, how you can claim what may belong to you, and also about an upcoming auction of jewelry and other valuables.
First, we have the chief of the Florida Bureau of Unclaimed Property. He's Walter Graham. Welcome to you, Mr. Graham. Thanks for coming on our program.
Yes, sir. It's great to be here, and thank you for having us on your show.
Nice to have you. And Mr. Graham's also the immediate past president of the National Association of Unclaimed Property Administrators.
That sounds like an exciting organization. We have to learn more about that.
Yes. Also with us
is the immediate past president of the National Association of Unclaimed Property Administrators. I'm sorry. Also with us is Ashley Carr. She's the communications director for Florida's chief financial officer, Jeff Atwater, and the Bureau of Unclaimed Property.
And she, too, joins us from Tallahassee. Welcome to you, Ashley Carr.
Thank you so much. I wish I could say that I was the immediate past president of NOW, but that would be much more exciting.
I think we have you straight now.
We have it straight. Okay. So welcome to you both. Walter Graham, I'd like to start with you. Would you just tell us, please, what comprises unclaimed property and how you gain possession of it?
Yes, unclaimed property in general is any kind of financial asset that is held by a company, a business, an industry, any type of commercial or governmental entity that it owes you the money, whether it be a credit balance on a retail account, whether it be an uncashed check, a payroll payment, an expense payment, a utility deposit, an unclaimed insurance benefit, unclaimed or inactive stocks portfolio. And also in this, we'll be mentioning about our unclaimed property auction. In addition to intangible items, we also get contents out of safe deposit boxes from banks where the rent was not paid on the safe deposit box. After a 3-year period of time, the bank drills those out, and after they try to find the owner of the box, they send those to us as well. But most of what we get are intangible assets.
There could be most anything in those boxes, though, right?
We get asked all the time that very question, what all types of items do you get?
As long as it fits, right?
That is right. If it'll fit in a safe deposit box, we get. And some of the items are to us at least, but they have some meaning to the person probably. Is why would someone put that in a safe deposit box, all the way to other items that are extremely valuable that you would say, why would someone just leave this in a safe deposit box and abandon it?
Well,
it runs the full gamut of just, if it'll fit in the box, we get it.
Well, what if there are other family members that just were unaware there was a safe deposit box?
Well, that's the reason why. When I first started doing this 12 years ago, I would not have believed this statement, but I believe it now. We paid out more than almost $253 million to Florida citizens and businesses this past fiscal year that just ended. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that was on 388,000 claims that we paid. And I can tell you that 95% of those people had no idea whatsoever of the existence of this money. I would not have believed that 12 years ago, but I believe it now. And really, it makes sense. If they knew about it, we would have never gotten it. So what our purpose is to bring out of darkness into the light out there in whatever type of company or institution it may be, the assets that are owed to you. The Unclaimed Property Programs serve as a central repository where those items come to the states. All the states have an Unclaimed Property Program. In the state of Florida, you know, we're very proud of what ours does, and it comes into this office so people can find out about it, about property that they otherwise would not have known. They would have never known about it had it stayed where it was. And to answer your question directly, it's either if the person is still living, then they claim it, and only they can claim it, but if they're deceased, their legal heirs claim it. And so the answer to your question is, even if they're deceased, it can still be claimed. And it can always be claimed. There's not a statute of limitations. The opportunity to and the right to claim the funds never extinguishes.
Well, what if, just on that point about there not being a statute of limitations, you're about to have an auction, which we'll talk a lot about. But let's say you auction something like a diamond necklace, and somebody realizes that that diamond necklace was theirs, but you've already auctioned it off.
That is correct, and we do have a fiduciary duty to the folks who own that safe deposit box. And what we do is, and it's the reason why we don't have an absolute auction. You'll notice that, and I'm sure you've reviewed our online catalog, which anyone listening can do at www.fltreasurehunt.org. That's fltreasurehunt.org. We have our full catalog online, as well as pictures of each item. And anyone can go on and search, but you will notice that we have a reserve, a minimum reserve price. And it would be great and a lot of fun to have an absolute auction where we start at zero and start bidding, but we have a fiduciary responsibility because the diamond that you just mentioned, once we sell it, and up until that moment, if a person walked in the door and said, hey, wait a minute, you've got my necklace, then we'll pull that aside and we will try to talk to the person and make a determination before we sell it, because the number one objective is to return what belongs to someone to them. But if we do sell it, then we will credit the amount of money that we sold it for to their account, and then they or their legal heirs can claim it forever. So we couldn't sell a $10,000 ring, for example, for $200. That just wouldn't. We have really good bargains at these auctions, but you can't go so low that it would be a very, very ludicrously low price, because we do credit the money to the account for the folks to claim.
Okay. Now, Ashley Carr, you're joining us from Tallahassee also. I suppose your role in this, or tell us what your role is. I suppose it's public awareness.
Absolutely. Our goal is to return every single dime of unclaimed property back to its rightful owner. But as Walter shared, most people don't know that it exists. So part of my job is exactly that, to help create public awareness, to help drive folks to the website just to check their name. So that website is open. It's free. It's online from your pajamas with a few keystrokes. You can check your name. You can check it every day. And if we do have an account in your name, the process is simple. Just print out and complete the form. Provide all of the documentation that we've requested, because, of course, we want to make sure that you're you, that we're not paying out the money to the wrong individual. So there is a verification process. We'll process your claim and issue your check once it's been verified. So we like to tell people that there's roughly a 1 in 5 chance that every Floridian has an unclaimed property account in their name. So exactly that. It's my job to make sure that those who have accounts become aware of it so that we can get the money right back in their pocket where it belongs.
Well, I checked my name out online, and I'm not in the 1 in 5 as usual.
I was.
I lost out.
I was.
Were you? That's exciting.
Yes.
I keep checking, and one day I'm hoping to find my name. It hasn't happened yet, but my father and my aunt both have accounts in their name, so we do still fall into the 1 in 5, but I've not been lucky thus far. I do. My fingers are crossed.
Bonnie's going to take me to lunch with her.
Let me ask you something.
There you go.
Can you hold that line of thought just a minute, if you don't mind?
Sure.
Can I inject something that I just did on my computer?
Yeah.
I believe I'm talking to WLRN Radio in Miami, right?
You are.
Yeah, and I see an account here for $161 for WLRN radio.
Oh, my.
Uh-oh. Somebody's in trouble here.
Well,
even
or...
radio stations forget about property.
$5.72. And let me, this is a good opportunity to share what that was an unclaimed dividend from, I guess, shares that your institution must own in McClatchy Newspapers.
Oh.
I don't know what McClatchy Newspapers is.
They own the Miami Herald.
And the Tallahassee Democrat.
Oh, okay. And there's another account for $135, $2, $3, $5, $5, and $161.94.
Well, there's that lunch, that? Joe. There's that lunch.
does that pay for this time on the radio?
Yeah, sure. Well, I want to just ask you, because, Ashley, you mentioned about that we have to prove that, you know, we're the rightful recipient or rightful person, you know, entitled to this money or property, whatever it is. Do you ever receive false claims, either by intention or by honest error? And what is the penalty for filing a false claim?
I think both. I think sometimes individuals, because, you know, you move, you have multiple addresses, so you could see your name. And I'll use myself for an example. Ashley Carr, I would have thought that my name was quite unique. But it turns out there's another Ashley Carr right here in Tallahassee. So there's, you know, a 1 in 2 chance that the account would not be mine. So we do like to take those steps to make sure that we're writing the check to the right individual. And unfortunately, you know, there are fraudsters who will find a way to cheat the system. And we have had folks who have tried to produce and to claim false accounts, and it is a felony. So when we're made aware of it, and we mainly are because of our strict verification process, we will prosecute those offenders, and they will go to jail because that's stealing.
If someone sees a large amount in the list, it would be something to initiate if you're a crook trying to get identity theft and go that route.
Absolutely, and that's why that strict verification process is so important.
We get claims. We paid this past year, I mentioned earlier, 388,000 claims. We actually processed close to 500,000 claims. We received and scanned and imaged over 6 million pieces of paper in this office from people filing claims.
We didn't give out the website.
Yes, fltreasurehunt.org.
Okay.
Correct?
Yeah, fltreasurehunt.org. But to answer that question, is we receive, you know, one thing I've learned doing this is you have to have a very, very, very unusual name for there to not be a lot of people with the same name. And so a lot of people, they don't have bad intentions, but they see an account on the database that shares the same name as theirs, and they'll file a claim, whether they really believe it's theirs or they're just maybe want to give it a shot. I don't know, but we do have to turn down a lot because they didn't prove that is them. And we do have, we want to pay, as Ashley mentioned, we want to pay every dime that we've got. We would like to return it all if we could. At the same time, though, we have to weigh that against, we have to make sure we're paying the right person, because you don't want to come to us and have us tell you, I'm sorry, but another person with your same name claimed it, you know, 2 months ago, and we don't have it anymore. So we don't really prosecute those, but we deny their claims and we tell them why. Now, if someone is persistently doing that and we can usually tell, then we will take more action against them. And certainly the more organized crime, which there were two individuals that you may have read about,
right,
about a month ago, that were arrested for fraudulently producing records and tweaking state Secretary of State records to insert themselves as officers in a company, and that collectively it was almost $750,000.
And you got it back, and you prosecuted them.
That's in the process, but can't talk about too much because that's an ongoing legal case. But the answer is, we don't. Most people that file wrong claims, we do nothing except deny their claim. It just depends on what happened.
Okay.
And that one is being prosecuted.
All right, we're going to take a short break. Before we do, I just want to offer a note here. I was looking over the list by county of unclaimed property.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, Miami-Dade, Broward, Palm Beach, and Orange County comprise the bulk of the unclaimed property.
But in our listening area, which includes Monroe, there's a sizable amount of money.
Oh, I didn't see Monroe.
Yeah,
okay.
It's there.
Okay. Sorry about that. All right. We're speaking about unclaimed property with Walter Graham, the chief of the Florida Department of Financial Services Bureau of Unclaimed Property, and Ashley Carrs, the communications director of Florida's chief financial officer, Jeff Atwater. And in that role, she oversees the communications and marketing operations of the Department of Financial Services. We'll be right back.
And we're back. It's today's topical currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. And we're talking to Walter Graham, the chief of the Florida Bureau of Unclaimed Property, and also Ashley Carr, who's the communications director, and includes her job includes the Bureau of Unclaimed Property. Also, if you have your phone with you, if you'd like to check yourself out, you can go to www.FL, capital FL, treasurehunt.org, FloridaFLTreasureHunt.org.
So I think I'm asking you this, Ashley. It's my understanding that since Chief Financial Officer Jeff Atwater has been in office, he's already returned almost $1 billion worth of unclaimed property, which is 40% of all funds returned to the in the department's 50-year history. So why is the department putting such a strong focus on this now?
That's correct, and we have actually crossed that $1 billion threshold. So it's now more than $1 billion in the last 4.5 years, which we're very excited about. And part of that is because, again, it's not our money, it's your money, excuse me, and it's our job to get it back to you. So whether it's $50 from a deposit from a now closed utility account or $1,000 from a forgotten savings account, it is your money, and it's our job to help put it back into your hands. So we do a lot of proactive outreach. So as Walter can probably share more, we get claims in every day. We process claims and issue checks every day. We get new claims in, and we process those every day. And each night, we do cross-checks to see if we can find the best known addresses and telephone numbers for these individuals. And we will send them proactive outreach letters and say, hi, my name is Jeff Atwater. I'm your chief financial officer. I oversee the state's unclaimed property program, and I think I might have an account in your name. I encourage you to visit our website or to contact us to learn more. So we are trying to actively put this information in the hands of Floridians so that they will claim the money. And it's been a priority for the CFO. It's been something that's been a Walter's priority for nearly a decade, more than a decade, as he shared. So that's exactly why we've put that much money back into the hands of Floridians, because we are trying, and it's a focus of ours.
Now, considering the state's budget crunch and also considering the, rapaciousness of the legislature, why haven't they made it where the state gets a cut of these credits?
Because, again, it's not their money. It's your money. It's not ours. It's not an entitlement. This is not a gift from the state of Florida. This is your money. We're simply safeguarding it until we are able to get it back in your hands.
Well, we're going to get to the auction, of course, but like when you do this auction, where do the proceeds go?
The proceeds do go into a trust, where they support public education efforts while they're entrusted into our hands. So we do put that money to good use to support public education. However, as we've shared, there is no statute of limitations,
right,
and the individuals have a right to claim every single dollar of it that belongs to them at any time and without cost to the consumer.
Has there ever been any thought given to appropriating the funds to something other than education, say to, you know, the destitute, to those who are destitute or homeless or hungry?
Walter, that is a question that kind of predates my time with the CFO. Is that something that you guys have considered? I'll let you take that.
Well, we haven't considered. The public policy in Florida, there's two basic premises of unclaimed property. Number one is, as I mentioned, to bring unknown, lost, forgotten, never known about funds out of the darkness into the light, provide an easy place for them to find out about it. That's overwhelmingly the number one purpose. However, there is a secondary purpose. And that's for a utility company that has a lot of unclaimed utility deposits, mm-hmm, that were back to former customers. Well, that's not their money. And the secondary idea is, rather than you keeping that as your own, for a private enrichment, the state will take custody of it, make it available for the people or their heirs to find out about it and recover it. But while it's being, until it gets claimed to use it for a public purpose that benefits all of the people of the state, not just those that were formerly holding it.
Right.
In the state of Florida, the public policy, which was set years ago by the legislature, was to utilize it until they're claimed, utilize it to help K-12 public education. I don't know that there's been any, that comes from the legislature and from our public policymakers. I don't know that there's been any discussion to use it for other things, but I think it would be hard pressed, I think, to take it away from the schools, you know, and do it for some other purpose. It's right. possible, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay.
Walter, maybe you can give us just a ballpark figure. I'm kind of interested in this business of you having so many unclaimed utility deposits. What any kind of ballpark percentage of what you have there that are those deposits?
Well, it is substantial. I don't know the percentage, but I would say we get a tremendous amount of unclaimed insurance benefits, stock portfolios that have gone inactive, and you know they have SEC required due diligence as well as our required. They haven't reconnected the folks. Our utility deposits is a larger one, but we receive, you know, we've got over 100 different property types, so. Utility deposits may, as far as the number of accounts, maybe 10%.
Now, I suppose,
it would not be over that, but it's still very significant.
I suppose a lot of these things are people have to leave the state quickly or something
right.
and pack up, and they leave, and they go to Oregon or something, and it just doesn't reach them, but they still have that electric deposit or gas or...
Well, and that's true, and I mentioned earlier credit balances on retail accounts. It's very easy. To wind up with a credit balance on a on a retail account,
oh,
right.
and stop doing business with that retailer, and just never know or forget all about that overpayment or that credit balance. And those are all sources of unclaimed property. Because why? Because it belongs to you. It doesn't belong to the entity that's holding it.
What about people that come from other states and relocate here? Can they? And maybe their families or something have unclaimed property in the states they came from. Every state, you say, has an unclaimed property division?
That is true, and we have links. If you look on our website, that, again, that's fltreasurehunt.org, fltreasurehunt.org. On the left-hand side under links, we have a link that you can connect with every state in the United States unclaimed property program. And you know, historically, Florida has been a state where people from up north or from other states moved to Florida to retire. And a good example of this, especially in the realm of safe deposit boxes, is someone moves down to Florida from Michigan. They die in Florida. They have, but their family still that they raised is still up in Michigan or
right.
Ohio or someplace up there, and they don't know that mom and dad opened a safe deposit box in Florida. They think they've taken care of all the affairs, the last. You know, last expenses and the state and everything, but they don't know about that. Or maybe they got an additional CD at a bank in Florida that the family that's still up north doesn't know about, or the safe deposit box. And the bank doesn't know where to look, doesn't know to find the people that they're deceased, and so it ultimately comes here so they can find out about it and get it.
What about these companies that send out these letters that they... where they take this huge percentage, I forget how much, but they send you these letters saying you have such and such unclaimed property and we can get it for you, but we take such and such an amount. First of all, who are they, these people that are doing this, and how do they get that information?
They operate under various licensing statutes in Florida as well as our unclaimed property law. And the you have to be a Florida licensed CPA, a Florida licensed attorney, or a Florida licensed and private investigator. And if you have one of those three licenses, Florida law allows you to register with our office as what is termed by our statute a claimant's representative. Now, you hear the names air finder, locator,
right.
All kinds of asset finders, names like that, but our statutes refer to them as claimant's representatives. They are allowed under our statute to register. By registering, they have access to our database. And so they will very often, as you said, when we load either new accounts or they research old accounts, and they will contact folks and offer to assist them in filing a claim on their behalf for a fee.
I'm looking at one now.
It's allowed in statute, and these are, if they're properly licensed and they're properly registered, they're regulated by our office, and they have to follow our statutes, and they are legitimate businesses.
Okay.
I'm looking at one now, a letter from the Estate Trust Asset Recovery, and it has a state of Florida agency license. And the person who received this they found $280, and 17.3% would be paid as compensation to the, as you say, the claimant's representative, which amounts to about $48 on the $280.
If I could hop in here, guys, I think that there's a very important point to make here, is that while these are legitimate, that it is a business operation in the state of Florida, the most important thing to tell Floridians at this point is just to come to us directly. We will process your claim for free. There is no reason to pay a claimant's representative
exactly.
to process an unclaimed property account. Just come directly right to us. We charge you absolutely nothing. So there's no reason to utilize these within our state.
We're speaking with Ashley Carr. She's the communications director for Florida's chief financial officer, Jeff Atwater, in the Bureau of Unclaimed Property, along with Walter Graham, chief of the Florida Bureau of Unclaimed Property. A short break. We'll come back and take your calls and emails.
And we return 34 minutes past 1 o'clock. It is today's Topical Currents, Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman. We're talking about the Florida Bureau of Unclaimed Property. One in four Floridians has some money in that unclaimed property at the Bureau. We're speaking with Walter Graham and also Ashley Carr. If you'd like to join in with a comment or a question, it's easy enough. 1-800-743-9576. 1-800-743-WLRN or email, that's radio at WLRN. org.
All right, so let's get to this big auction. It's coming up this Saturday, August 1st, and we should add here that the preview is one day only. It's the day before. It's Friday, July 31st from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and there's no preview on the day of the auction. Is that correct, folks?
That's correct.
Okay, so first, the auction. Let's talk about it. Where is it being held?
We're at the Marriott in Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay, and why Jacksonville, and are they always held there, the auctions?
No, absolutely not. We do travel the state. Last year we were in Orlando. We have done them in South Florida, in the Panhandle, in Central Florida. The goal is to, again, create awareness. So if we were to stay in one part of the state, that one part of the state would become very aware, but everybody else would lose out on the opportunity. So we do like to move it around the state, so that we're gaining access and creating awareness across all Floridians.
And you have to physically be there to participate, is that correct?
Yes, sir, you do. Although our auction company, Fisher Auction, which you can find information about them and us, they will take absentee bids, which you have to get with them directly and register before. And we, you know, you and the rest of the news media serve a very important component in this, and the reason why we move these auctions around is we want it to be a news story. When we come to Fort Lauderdale, we want it to still be a news story to the TV stations and the newspapers there. If we went there, like Ashley said, if we went there at the same place every year, the Miami Herald would just say, we could have just covered that. You know, they may be inclined to say that. So we want, just like this program, and just like we do televised check deliveries, we do live telephone phone banks, is if I deliver a person's check to them on television, well, that person will get their check whether we put it in the mail or not. But it causes other people to see and learn about unclaimed property and go online. So that is the reason why we still do live auctions. We haven't gone to eBay. I don't think we will, because we would be losing the component. Like this weekend in Jacksonville, for 3 days, we'll be on every TV station, on every newscast, and all the newspapers for 3 days. And that drives public awareness, causing other people to find out about their property and recover it.
Let me just clarify this. You can bid absentee, or you...
Yes, but you need to get, if you go online, FL Treasure Hunt, and look at our And you can also go on to FisherAuction.com. They are our auction contractor because we don't talk fast enough. And so, but they do. You can contact them. You can register with, you can pre-register with them. And if you say, yes, sir, I would like to place an absentee bid on lot number 450. And he will say, what is your bid? And when he gets to lot 450, he will say, I've got an absentee bid from a registrant on this lot. And when we get to that, if the bidding gets up to that amount, then I will bid for those people.
I see.
He will say that. But other than that, it's a live auction, and you do have to be present.
And also, it's this Saturday at the Jacksonville Marriott. If you're interested in going up to Jacksonville, the number at the Marriott is 904-296-2222. And also, there's a $100 deposit. Is that correct for the auction, which is refunded if you purchase?
Yes, sir. Make it a little more clear on that Marriott. The Marriott is right beside Interstate 95. It's at the intersection there. They call it South Point in Jacksonville. The South Point area is that intersection of J. Turner Butler Boulevard, which goes out to the beaches, and I-95.
And there's 50,000 items, Bonnie.
Right, that's
50,000 items.
Yeah, 50,000 items.
And 700,000.
I feel like we're talking like auctioneers
here.
Okay, so there. And is how much of is added to what you bid in order to purchase something, like the buyer's premium?
We have a 10% buyer's premium. These are very good prices. Like I said, we try to draw a balance between having a low price but still not selling something so ridiculously low that it would treat the account owner wrong. But whatever the final bid price is, this is how our auction company gets paid. They get a 10% buyer's premium. However, by law, there is no sales tax at this auction. So you save the 6% sales tax.
Oh.
None of that. So really, the buyer's premium is not as high. You know, the real cost of it
4%.
Is not really 10%.
Yeah. Right, okay.
Let's take some...
It is, but it's not.
Okay, let's take some calls. We've got a Key Largo listener. This is Lou. Go ahead, Lou.
Hey, everybody. Good afternoon.
Hi.
I wanted to share my experience because I just went through this.
Okay.
I received two letters from two separate of these creditor representatives, and I thought, you know, if they want my money so bad, it's worth spending a few minutes to see what was up. And sure enough, there was about $115 from a promotion that Publix did years and years ago. And I did the paperwork, and I sent it all in, and the website says it's going to take about 3 months. It didn't. It took less than a month, and it was great. But I want you to know that I'm a bookkeeper down here. So when I went through my process, I went through every single one of my clients, several who are elderly, and, you know, may not be aware that this is out there, and sure enough, I had paid her on one client. He has something like $2,000 coming back to him, so we're working with his family to get that money back to him. But I just think it was, you expect a little bit of bureaucratic mess, and it just wasn't there. It was really smooth, and I appreciate it.
That's great.
And my brother, I ran my entire family through it. My brother also was getting money back, so everybody in my family was pretty happy with
it. Well, there's no bureaucracy involved if Walter Graham is on the scene.
It was really smooth. It was really smooth.
Yeah, I did certainly do my best, I can tell you that.
Well, it was a good experience.
Okay, well, thanks for calling. And
thank you. Great
show.
Thank
you for sharing your story. I'm glad you had such a positive experience.
It was great. It was really great. It's still great for my clients and the rest of my family. So thanks a lot.
Well, thank you for helping us to promote the program by doing your own research. That's wonderful. We appreciate you.
Yeah, and it saved myself quite a lot of money doing it, too. So thank you.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Well, good deal. Winners all around.
Bye-bye.
And we'll move along to... Scott in Boynton Beach. Hi.
Hello.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I received, I looked online and I found I had three different things owed to me. One was $26, one was $36, and the big one was $6,500.
Oh.
Now you did that while you're listening to this program?
No, I did that last week. It just so happens that you guys are talking about it today, and I was like, oh, I cannot miss this show. So I did have a question. The question is this, it was from a stock, the $6,500 one was from a stock that from Disney, they lost touch with me.
Right.
Now that it's being paid out, is that going to be something that I'm going to owe tax on? And should I be aware of that and put
Walter?
Some of that aside?
Well, you know what, Trey, I'm glad you asked that question. That's a great point. And, you know, we don't issue 1099s. And the reason why we don't is because we do know that the overwhelming amount of unclaimed property is not taxable. It's if you had a credit balance on an account or a utility deposit or a wage or any, you know, wage has already been reported to the IRS. And really, a dividend payments have already been reported to the IRS and a 1099 DIV. So we don't want to create a taxable event on a person when it's not warranted. So what we can, and to answer your question specifically, I don't know about that stock because it depends on what the basis was. And so what I would, I'm very happy that you found it, and I'm very happy that we're going to be able to pay that to you because that's what we're all about. That's, we just love doing it. And but what I would advise you to do, because we are not going to create a tax event, taxable event for you by issuing that, what you need to do is next year get with your tax advisor, and y'all will be able to determine what the basis was on that, because there was a starting point. You don't know if it went up in value or down in value or whatever, and some of that may have already been reported anyway. So
okay,
that's all I can really advise you to do, but we're really happy that you found it, and we're going to be returning that to you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I actually just mailed it out this morning, so I'm really looking forward to it, and it's a great thing you guys provide.
Great.
Great deal. Thanks for calling.
And how much in total was it, Scott?
$6,500 plus $26 plus $36, so you know, right around $6,600.
And you had no idea of it, right?
No idea. I've always
we have a pledge drive coming up in September.
Yeah. Well, Scott, before you hang up, can I ask, do you have any special plans for your money since you didn't know that you had it? Do you have any special?
We're buying a new mattress, which we wanted. My wife is getting a new purse. And the rest of it, which will be about half, is going to pay down mortgage.
There.
Well, that's wonderful. And
NPR, of course.
Of course.
Of course. Okay, yep, here's a question
thanks.
For you. Wait till, let me see if I can get this, because it's important. But something's going on with my email. You want to take another call?
Okay, we'll take another call. We've got J.D. Fort Lauderdale. Hi.
Hi there. Thank God for you. As I was turning on the radio and listening to this show, what do? I go to that website, and lo and behold, I find my Aunt Janet, who had passed away back in 2009 up in Wellington. And lo and behold, if there's not a Schwab account sitting there on that listing for her, I would have never known that had I not been listening. Y'all are absolute treasures. Topical Currents is just a treasure of information. I'm so glad for you.
Well, for you at least, yeah.
I've been calling my cousin. Well, not for me. I called in my cousin out in California to tell him, call Stephen out there and tell him that Aunt Janet had, that was his mother, had died. And there's a Schwab account sitting there ready, still in her name and everything, and nobody knows about it.
Well, bless Aunt Janet's soul.
Absolute godsend.
Now, you do know that you can enter in the information.
Go ahead.
You can enter in the information and print a claim form right there from your own computer, right? Did you do that?
Okay, well, I'm driving down the road right now, but as soon as I get back to my computer, I will.
Yeah,
it's great. Keep up the great work.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I just have to say I did do it, and it's really easy. It takes no time, and you get the claim form, you fill it out, you give them the information that they're looking for, you send it in, and you do get now here your payment back. This is an email from Brenda. I must read this, Walter and Ashley, because she says the FloridaTreasureHunt.org site has a Google red strike through it in the HTTP address, including a potential website security risk. In light of so many website hackings and identity thefts, I feel uncomfortable entering any private information such as date of birth, social security number, and driver's license number into a site flagged by Google as unsecured.
I didn't see that.
Either did I.
Could you read the email address she said again?
She said fltreasurehunt.org.
Yeah, that's
well,
our
that
address.
I don't know her browser specifically because I have not had that concern. But we agree. We absolutely want to make sure that your private information is kept exactly that, private. So I would suggest that if she does feel uncomfortable, pick up the phone, give us a call. We'll be more than happy to help her.
And the FL or CAPS, do they have to be?
No, but that no. shouldn't that shouldn't make any difference.
Well, she asked if she could use snail mail too, but the telephone number is 1-888 valuable, right?
Yes, 258-2253. 1-888-258-2253.
Okay.
Yes,
ma'am. All right.
She's using Chrome or one of those types.
I don't. She doesn't say. She just said
Internet Explorer. Our team is working on making Chrome compatible, but we do have some trouble with some browsers.
Okay.
But to expand on that, what she's asked, our website is completely in its entirety maintained here in this building. It was developed inside this building. None of it has ever left this building. It is encrypted and it is very secure.
Oh.
Confidential information that is put on there is protected by law. We will not release anything that is confidential under the statute. And our website is it is very, very secure, as secure as a website could be. So I'm glad she brought that up too, so we could address it.
Okay, good. And just Michael writes, thanks so much for the show. I went online and found my dad's account with some funds. I filed the claim and it works. So we have that.
Good for him.
Okay, talking about unclaimed property with Ashley Carr and Walter Graham. Just another break. We'll be right back.
And we return 49 minutes past 1 o'clock. It's Topical Currents, Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. And we're talking about the Florida Bureau of Unclaimed Property with Walter Graham and Ashley Carr. Bonnie, there appears to be some difficulty with a few listeners about what happens to money that is not ever claimed. What happens to that, Walter?
It stays credited right to the account forever. And we've
in perpetuity,
then? Yes, sir. They or their heirs can claim it forever. I know forever is a long time, but there's no statute of limitations, right, and it never runs out.
Right.
And I will tell you that, you know, we talked about the claimants' representatives that are licensed, and they're also registered here, and they're allowed to do this by Florida statute. But there are other entities that are not legitimate that do try to contact folks. And one of the things that we've seen, and of course we turn those over, report those to the licensing authorities whenever we find evidence of it. But one of the things one of the tactics that we've seen people say is they'll say, if you don't act by so-and-so date, your chance will run out. That is absolutely not true.
Hmm.
But there, I guess people will say things like that to try to prompt folks into action.
Yeah, they're churning people.
Right. It never runs out. You can claim it today or 5 years from now or 10 years from now.
Now, let me read this information because I want to understand how this is. It says, remember that many of these state unclaimed fund accounts are listed exactly as they are in the agency state unclaimed funds database. In other words, if there were obvious errors in name, addresses, or even unclaimed funds amounts, these errors are repeated in these lists. So some of these accounts have common mistakes. So if there is a mistake on the name, or how is that rectified? What does somebody do then?
Well, that is true, and it is true on our database. You know, we can't build it. We want it to be accurate, but we can't build it to, if there was a person's last name, you know, had maybe their last name was Allen, and the Allen had two L's in it, and you put one L in
right.
it, or it only fitted one L. That one would not show up because you do have to type it in, and that is a good point. But if someone has indicated to you that they have, you know, a lot of times holders will notify folks that they have reported the money to us. Now, they're supposed to do it before they turn it over to us. And if you call us, you know, we can find those types of things. But that is you do have to type it in, and we have to put it into our database in the same manner that it was reported to us because
right.
by law, that's what we have to do. We don't know whether that name had two L's in it or one L, so we have to put it in the only way that they sent it to us. If it's an obvious error to us, then we will get back with them when we can. And, you know, before we load any report, we try to make sure, well, number one, it has to be in balance. In other words, if they had 10,000 accounts and $3 million, well, it has to be 10,000 accounts and be exactly $3 million. And if it's not, then we have to resolve that with the whole reporting entity. And the same as in, if there's information that is obviously wrong, we will go back to them and say, are you sure this is right? If they say it's right, in their opinion, we have to put it in our database the same way they reported to us. We can only change it if they give us something official saying to change it.
We have a listener who wants to know if there's any cross-referencing, such as with your social number, if you could just enter that and see if there's a claim.
There is. Absolutely. You can call us, and if you want to give us that information, 38% of our accounts, we have almost 13 million claimable accounts, and well over $1 billion of value. But we can't, about 38% of our accounts have a Social Security number. 92% of our accounts have either a Social Security number and or an address reported. We can use those to cross-reference, but if you, some of those don't have an address, but maybe do have about 8% have a Social Security number without an address, you can call us, and if you want to give us that number, we will look it up on the phone and see if we have one by that Social Security
number. So you could go to an old apartment address or something that you moved out a long time ago and give that and see if there's any utility deposits, say?
Well, you can't look it up by the address, but you can look it up by the name and address or the name only, or just a Social Security number only.
Oh, I see. Right, yeah.
You know what I wanted to ask each of you before we go? Are there measures that we can take and tell our listeners about so we can avoid having our property end up in the Bureau of Unclaimed Property? I mean, there must be things we can do to avoid that. Ashley?
Sure, absolutely. There certainly is. I mean, as we shared, life does get busy, and sometimes paperwork falls through the cracks. So I think first and foremost is to truly be a little bit more diligent about your record keeping. Make sure that you're filing information about all of your bank documents and your insurance policies so that you have that, so that you have an accurate reporting of what accounts that you have. And also have the conversations with your friends and your family, because if you are the beneficiary on your parents' insurance policies and they are getting up in age, talk to them about what accounts that are going to be necessary for you to close upon their passing so that you're aware and you don't miss accounts that you just didn't know existed. So, you know, just truly keep track of your documents. Make sure that you have an awareness of the accounts that you have, and talk to your friends and family. Create the awareness. Open those lines of communication so that, you know, there are no secrets, so that you guys are aware of what needs to be settled upon their passing.
Are there other organizations people can check for unclaimed property, or does it all go to you? I'm thinking of airports and train stations and bus depots. Does everything end up in your coffers?
Well, that's a great question. Airports have their own, the only tangible items, again, that we get are from out of safe deposit boxes and banks.
Okay.
Financial institutions. But airports do have lost and found, or whatever they call it, because people are always leaving things on planes or leaving them in the airports. And also, we get questions, great question, by the way, because we do get these questions, and you see these TV shows about the storage wars and the storage places. And
right.
Those are covered by different laws, too. They're not part of unclaimed property.
Uh-huh.
But they, you know, what happens in those situations is what you see on TV is the rent doesn't get paid, and then the people that own the facility, they're following, you know, state law, but then they auction it. So the only tangible items that we cover are safe deposit box contents.
Well, this has been a great hour and very informative. We've been speaking with Walter Graham. He's the chief of the Florida Bureau of Unclaimed Property and the immediate past president of the National Association of Unclaimed Property Administrators. We thank you for joining us, Mr. Graham.
Thank you so much. And you gave a perfect example of why it's good for you to do these shows, because people said they just because they heard you on the radio, they found property.
That's right, and we're going to come after our WLRN unclaimed property. Ashley Carr is the communications director for Florida's chief financial officer, Jeff Atwater, and the Bureau of Unclaimed Property. Ashley, thank you so much for all your input.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having us.
And good luck with the auction. Again, wait. The auction again is Saturday. And you give the website and the number.
Correct. It's www.fltreasurehunt.org, www.fltreasurehunt.org, and the phone number is 1-888-258-2253.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
And that wraps up today's program. Happy hunting. It was produced by Polly Landis with technical direction from online producer Paul Leary, production assistance from lead producer Richard Ives. Tomorrow we explore how to enroll and get best value and services from Medicare. There are 55 million Medicare beneficiaries, and some 10,000 Americans per day turn 65 for the next 20 years. Mm. We're at your service tomorrow, and of course, we'll take your call. That's tomorrow at 1 o'clock, Medicare. Joseph Cooper for Bonnie Berman. Stay tuned for Here and Now, up next from NPR News.